Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
With me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today, we're answering the running questions everyone's been asking Google. Oh, how high tech.
Look at us talking to the internet.
I feel like this is like the Wired, or it is the Wired autocomplete, but we're not famous and we're talking about running. So I don't know if that makes it better or
it's
worse.
It's just amazing. It's worth tuning into this because some of the questions on here are quite surprising as well, which obviously we'll get to, but it's not all kind of is running bad for my knees. I won't spoil it, but there's some good ones, I think.
Yeah, don't spoil it, Rick. I think we should say, you know, we've taken this very seriously, and this isn't just any old Google list. This was done incognito, so this isn't informed by my browser history or the running things that I've been looking at. This is the general world of Google. These are the things that everyone needs to know. Yeah.
So we're going to do top 10, aren't we? Top 10 things people are Googling about running.
Yeah, we've got top 10 plus a bonus too, because when I was looking into it, they were like, we came up with, it's one of those never-ending ones. So I was just like, people need to know that. That's why are people asking, is running bad for me? No.
We've got it down to a dozen. All right, should we go on to our topic then? So it's actually going to be the 12 most Googled questions about running. Ben, you can kick us off.
All right. So after some intense internet session.
Have you done a bit of Googling?
Googling. I just sat on Google and went incognito. I want to clarify this so that everyone knows that this was done. Just the purest of all Googling, and typed is running. And we got the list that you're about to hear. And number one is running good for weight loss? Which, you know, I'm actually a little bit sad that that's number one. I guess it's quite...
Yeah, me too.
I guess it's, you know, I would have liked number one to be, is running the most fantastic thing I could do ever? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like having weight loss as the number one is a bit like, oh. But running is great for weight loss. So if that is your main goal in taking up running, and there's nothing wrong with that if that is what you want running to do, it's a good choice. It burns more calories than most other types of exercise because it requires pretty much all of your muscles to work together at the same time. Especially if it's new to you, then you'll probably discover that quite quickly as everything's a little bit sore. The difference in calories burned by running versus other exercises is actually supported by lots of research.
Ooh,
and not just
science.
Me. Oh, some science, yes, of course. So there was one study with 12 men and 12 women compared how many calories running 1 mile or 1600 meters burned than walking the same distance on both the treadmill and the track. And the results showed that on average, running 1 mile on the treadmill burns 33 more calories than walking, and running 1 mile on the track burns 35 more calories than walking. So there you go, everyone. And that's it. I mean, and I think if it is a weight loss journey, do a mile and then you go, you've just torched 35 more calories than you were expecting to. So yeah, running is good for weight loss.
Nice.
But that, if it's your gateway reason into running, excellent, but don't make it your reason for staying.
Very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Jane?
I've got number two. Is running good for you? No, it's good for you. No, it's not. Closed laptop. Running is really good for you in lots of different ways. And if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you'll have probably kind of got some insight into this because we're always banging on about it. Not just physical benefits like weight loss and getting stronger and all of that, mental ones too. And I've got a study because why not? From the American, from the American Academy of Neurology, and they looked at 206 adults before and after a 6-month exercise program. By the end of the program, the participants saw blood flow to the brain had increased by 2.3% on average, which is what the researchers believe led to the 5.7% improvement on executive function tests and 2.4% improvement on verbal fluency. So the study kind of showed that 6 months worth of vigorous exercise may pump blood to regions of the brain that improves your verbal skills as well as your memory and mental sharpness. So yeah, running is good for you. It's good for your brain. It's good for your mental health. It's just good.
Oh, it's pretty positive so far for running, isn't it?
Well done, running. I do like that. Is running good for you? Like, and do you think people? I mean, this is obvious that they are, but people are googling that and seeing that response and going, oh, if I had said no, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, mate. I think there's a lot of suspicion in these top questions. There's a lot of, is running good for you? The one that I'm about to talk about. Running still obviously viewed with this kind of, oh, is it actually something that's potentially bad for your body? And I think that's a message that we really need to try and counteract as much as possible. Like, running is one of the greatest things you can do for your brain and body imaginable.
Hmm, for sure. It's, as you say, a little alarming, maybe.
Yeah, it is a bit. Number three, is running bad for your knees? That's a classic, isn't it? That's a classic of the genre. Running is good for your knees. According to a study from Brigham Young University, running appears to reduce inflammation in the knee joint, not increase it, as commonly believed. So, as the authors say, running may actually protect knees down the road and safeguard against degenerative diseases like osteoarthritis. So, that's a classic kind of debunking of the myth, the common myth that running's bad for your knees. What I would say is that I think certain kinds of running are probably putting more stress on the knees than others. So if you're a really heavy heel striker, maybe landing with your heel quite a long way in front of your body, that's going to put more force through the knees that could potentially result in injury down the road, as opposed to if you were landing, say, midfoot, and with your foot, importantly, under your centre of mass under your body, then I think... actually, your muscles, your calves, they're going to take a bit more of the force. That can obviously lead to other injury issues. I'm not suggesting everyone just sort of cast off their shoes and run injury free. Head to the Copper Canyons, everybody.
The thing with this is running has got this sort of, it's a sort of built-in negativity. And then as we talked about, and then the knees thing is like the absolute tip of the iceberg when it comes to people saying, oh, I don't want to do that because it's like, you know, the knees. Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, it's if you run badly, and when I say badly, I mean inefficiently or biomechanically, there's something that you need to have looked at before you kind of take running on to the next level. Then obviously running badly will be bad for your knees, but playing tennis badly is also bad for your knees.
And yeah, cycling with your seat too low.
Bad for your knees.
I've had more knee pain from cycling than running.
So you see,
just chucking out there, Ben, anti-cycling.
Yeah, good. I like that. But this is what I mean. So it's kind of like the knees and the running have been tied together. It's like if you've ever had a bad knee, if you've ever had bad knees, it's probably because you once went running and that's your own fault. Whereas it's actually more to do with, you know, biomechanics and things like that. So yes, of course, if you just launched into running and you just absolutely hammered it as hard as you could and you hadn't run for ages, then you probably do yourself some damage. And to be fair, your knees are probably the main bit of the body which take the load the most initially without, you know, if you don't build up. So yeah, I mean, it's being unsensible and those sorts of things. But running itself, the mechanism of running, that's not bad for your knees.
I think that's a really important point, Ben. Yeah, like, It can be bad for you, same way that lifting weights could be, you know, could injure your shoulder if you weren't doing it properly. But that doesn't mean that the art form itself is inherently the problem. It's the way in which it's practiced. So
yeah.
Hey, the next one's amazing.
Now this is brilliant. This is really, really...
This takes me back to school, and I kind of...
The thing is, me and Jane talked about this morning when we were having a meeting, and it's actually it's one of those ones that's mildly alarming, because it came up, and number four is running a verb? And I read it and went, oh, I actually don't know.
I don't know.
I Google differently to people. It's just not something that I would Google.
I wouldn't Google it. It wouldn't ever be a Google thing for me. But I was just, I'm the old, you know, English language as journalists. But it's one of those things that I was just a bit like, oh, do I know that off the top of my head? But anyway,
yeah,
it is one of the top questions. And the word run can indeed be used as a verb. So there we go. As in, I like to run to the shops. And it can also be used as a noun, like I love that run, and as an adjective, which is running water. So there's your English lesson.
Number five is running, which is quite relevant for maybe like a month, two, three weeks ago, is running in the cold bad for you? No, it's not. We have an interesting article on the site. I'm not a scientist or a doctor to really... chuck that out there, that sometimes when you breathe in cold air, it can make your lungs hurt a bit, but you're not doing any damage to them. And I can't remember why it is. I think it's just because the air is cold and your body's hot.
We'll include the link in the bio, the podcast description.
Read up if you care, but running in the cold isn't bad for you. I guess running in the cold... you might need to adjust your kit. You might need to wear a grippier shoe because you might fall over and hurt yourself. But in non-COVID times, you could say do some runs on the treadmill if you're worried about slipping over. But I don't think you need to worry about being cold unless you're wearing... Oh, have you seen? This is a completely tangent. There's now, you know, like people go swimming in no clothes to... kind of boost some endorphins or something.
Cold water
swimming.
This thing Rick loves that.
Bare chest running. Well, it's mainly men. I've only seen men doing it. you don't wear a top. You just wear shorts. When I was when it was really snowy a few weeks ago, there were a couple of guys in Battersea Park just wearing no clothes. And apparently, what's his name? James Cracknell. What's the other one called?
Haskell.
No, the one who.
I went with James as the
Bear
lead there.
No, the one who did like a
Wim Hof.
He did a run recently where he didn't eat or drink or something.
I think it was Cracknell.
What's his name?
I think it was Cracknell.
I think it, one of them does it.
Like
we'll have to research who that is.
There's a certain bloke out there, isn't there, who's just longing for some science to back up or to justify his shirtless running. Do you know what I mean?
Mate,
oh, no, I'm only doing it because of the science. You know?
No, it's bare-chested running, guys. It's actually incredibly good for your immune system.
Bare skin running, and apparently it's something to do. It's like a new thing.
Yeah.
So don't be alarmed if you spot some bare-chested runners out there.
Absolutely be alarmed. If you see a man in the freezing cold running around Battersea without a T-shirt on, be alarmed.
Maybe it's just I've seen it because I've seen it trending and I was like, what is that? But I've not done enough research into it. I will. And if you are that man I keep seeing running without a top on, get in touch. Let me know why you're doing it. I want to hear more.
It's like a date, Jane, or something.
No, I don't want to go on a date with you. I don't want to.
Get in touch. All right.
This is not a dating podcast.
But anyway, is running in the cold bad for you? No, it's not. Just be careful.
No, it's not.
I see.
On the contrary, probably one of the greatest exercises you can do in the cold because you warm really quickly.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, much better answer.
Number six, is running every day bad? Another one of suspicious about running, isn't it? A lot of suspicion in these questions. Quite a good question, that one. I think lots of elite athletes and serious amateurs do run every day, and some of them will even run double days, you know, running in the morning and then once in the evening as well. But I think most of us would do well to have at least one day off a week, if not more, just to let your body repair, rebuild. And also, I think there's a kind of monotony potentially in running every day or feeling like you have to run every day. So I think most people listening to this would definitely benefit from one day off. And if you're going to run every day, if you are kind of hell-bent on that idea, I think it's really important that lots of those runs are really easy-paced runs. You know, that kind of 80-20 rule of like 80% of your mileage or your running should be aerobic and easy, and 20% should be that kind of high-intensity stuff. I think that's more and more important the more running you're doing. So if you are running every day, then yeah, make sure you're not running hard every day, because I think that would be a route to injury and burnout.
I think this search is rooted in the run streak. So I think this has come off the back of the phenom that is the run streak and people running every single day. And adhering probably quite nicely to that 80-20 rule, because it's normally just, you know, at the most it has to be a mile. So the people are, you know, people are running a mile and probably quite slowly, and that is contributing to their run streak when they might do other stuff. But anyway, I think that's probably that sort of has entered the main conscious probably more as a thing. Oh, I've been on, you know, 700 days run streak. Look at me go. And people have probably been like, that sounds insane. Is running every day bad?
Or off of your run streak. Yeah.
And have Googled
it. No, I don't mean that. I mean, do what you want.
Run as well.
Do what you want. I think that's really true, Ben. I think there can be a kind of, obsession with running every day, or this kind of idea that it's a sign of machismo or great,
no,
kind
of
magic powers.
I mean, that's the run streak in itself. It's like
shirtless run streaking. I bet that goes on.
Shirtless, loads of that.
Someone's out there. Oh, someone anyway, is showing that.
If you are shirtless run streaking, get in touch.
It's running every day bad. I mean, that is probably a good one, because it does. If you go by perception of what is put out there by athletes and people on social media, then you know there is definitely that if you're not seen doing it every day, then you know you're not at the top of your game, even if you're not involved in the game. So you know it has to be that thing of like, is running every single day, it's probably quite a good, as I can see where that search has come from, because I think people new to running would be like, God, people are running a lot.
And especially in lockdown, I guess, because I feel like if we think back to like April last year, I'd get really stressed out on my rest days, because I'd be like, what do I do? Like, what am I? I'm going to be in the house all day. So I'd be like, oh, could I just go for another? Could I do a run today? Or, you know, like it's taken me, I don't know, 10 years of running to realize that going for a walk is okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a run and burn loads of calories and get loads of mileage at the end of the week. You can just go for a walk recover. Look at me, I'm a new person.
Jane,
in 2021.
Jane,
you've almost leapfrogged into, you know, spoiler alert, question Google result number 10. But you know, it's fine.
Sorry, everyone.
It's all right.
Do stay tuned.
Hit us up, Ben, with number seven.
This is again. I mean, maybe with the paranoia around, is running bad for you? So we had, is running good for you? Is running bad for you? Well, no. The end. It's not. And we can get into I can see why, again, where it comes from, because it's hard and it hurts a bit when you first start and all these sorts of things. So is running being bad for you? Yeah, no, it just possibly feels a bit like, to get to the beyond the feeling of, God, this is hard work, to, I am really enjoying this, that phase is actually probably the bit that makes people think, why would you bother? If you see what I mean? There's not immediate gratification with running, if you see what I mean. But anyway, is running bad for you? No, it's one of the best things you can do for your brain and your body. Someone once remarked that if you put all the benefits of running into a pill, you could make $1 billion. Such are the many significant benefits of going for a run.
We'll have to bear that in mind, won't we? Has anyone got any good pill manufacturing potentials?
It's worth noting, though, that very intense exercise can weaken the immune system, which is obviously a hot topic at the minute. So I think this is sort of, you see it with elites. I mean, this is obviously not for the everyday, but when they're training super, super hard, all it takes is like a little cold or something, or, you know, and their race schedule is completely, you know, recovery and all that sort of stuff, because their race schedule sort of is dismantled quite quickly if they get an illness or something, because they're sort of they train up until the point where they're at their most athletic, but also they're probably at their most weakened from an immune point of view, because that's how sort of elite high intensity stuff happens. But for everyone else, no. Running is not bad for you from that point of view. If you went out every single day and started smashing out tempo runs because you thought that was the way to do it, then maybe you might wear yourself down. I think fatigue is probably the only way that you would say that running is bad for you, if you overtrain because you get super into it. But no, I mean, what do you guys think?
I've never run a marathon and not got a cold. Yeah. So is there something in that?
I think there is something in that. There's some science around your immune system is temporarily weakened after like a huge effort, like a marathon, like for like 24 or 48 hours.
But I'm also the kind of person that's allergic to most lip balms. So, I mean, who am I to offer any medical advice?
Is lip balm bad for you, Jane? Have you Googled that?
Is lip balm bad for you? Yes.
Some of this comes with, again, this suspicion around running, but he often gets trotted out about this guy, Jim Fix, who's sort of the godfather of jogging, and the fact that he died relatively young from a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
So it's right, like, yeah. And that gets lumped in with stuff like, well, actually, the first person to ever run a marathon in ancient Greece, he died at the end. So there's all this sort of, quite a lot of scaremongering around running. Even the kind of origin story of it is this kind of, it's this activity that you do that pushes your body to the very limit. And then actually, you push yourself so hard that you actually died at the end of it, and Jim Fix has died and the rest of it. So it adds a little bit of weight to this idea that the activity that we all love, is there's a danger aspect to it. But actually, you know, the vast, vast majority of running is the complete opposite. It's really, really good for you. In fact, runners, people who run regularly live longer. There's lots of studies to suggest that. So it has the opposite effect that people are worried it's going to have. It actually is likely to elongate your life rather than cut it short.
Mm. Yeah, there we go. So no, running is not
bad. Don't worry,
for
it's good for you. It's good for you.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
This special audio nugget of the Runner's World podcast is sponsored by On, and we're delighted to be joined by their head of footwear, Ilmarin Heitz, to tell us a little bit more about the trainers with hollow pods underneath and how they are changing the sensation of running. Ilmarin, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. More recently, On have been seen on the feet of the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, and of course, Roger Federer. But first and foremost, you're a running brand, so could you give us a quick summary on how On came about?
On has come a long way. It's coming from a hose pipe to a high-tech running shoe. In the very early days, so the invention was based on a hose pipe. So basically hose pipe pieces, which were the first cloud or hollow elements we used to provide that horizontal cushioning. And this was the concept. And we played a lot around with hose pipes to figure out would this actually work. This was just the first stepping stone before we went into actual engineering of cloud tech and further evolution of the technology.
So could you tell us, Ilmarin, what is cloud tech exactly and how has it evolved since the concept was first prototyped 10 years ago?
I think cloud tech is pretty much the only cushioning system out there that dampens not just vertically, but also horizontally. It's a structural cushioning system, which consists out of an outsole, of a very special outsole, which has single pods, which can move individually. And this combined with a very special speedboard, which is incorporated into the midsole, provides that unique sensation. We call it Run on Clouds, and this is pretty much what is CloudTech all about.
Yeah, how does CloudTech change across the various models? Because there's lots of different on running shoes now.
Every shoe has, of course, a different purpose, and thus every shoe has its own mix of geometry and materialization. If you look, for instance, at our performance range, we can, for instance, take the Cloud Stratus, which you can buy. There we took a lot of time to emphasize the cushioning system, the horizontal cushioning, which you need when you run fast. So you can see there we have actually a double layer of clouds. We actually call it hierarchical cushioning. So it almost kind of dampens twice, and thus you have much more comfort and ride in the Cloud Stratus, for instance. When you look at our outdoor range, we wrap our CloudTech with rubber, so it's more durable and has more traction for outdoor and for wet on the grounds. And if you look at some of our all-day products, one we just recently launched, the Cloud Nova, we emphasized more the comfort in the product. So there you can see again a different interpretation of CloudTech, where we sometimes combine single elements. Then it kind of gives you an even more comfortable feel when you walk. And that's kind of how we play with the technology.
How are you innovating CloudTech as performance footwear continues to go through a period of very rapid innovation?
On grew up with plenty of competition. So innovation is in our blood. In order to survive, we have to innovate. For On, innovation happens every day. I think we are extremely quick. Most of our inventions have been created overnight, basically less than in a year. And our recipe is basically to prototype very quick. What we make there is basically we create monsters to understand if a system, if a new idea works. It's basically handmade prototypes to figure that out very quickly. And what we also do, we partner smart. So we partner with super agile companies who can help us make these monsters happen and commercialize it. And then our third most important thing is to bring it out to the athletes as fast as we can do that. And that's basically what we do all the time.
So where else might we see the big innovations for On over the coming years?
We are going to definitely to emphasize the evolution of CloudTech in the future to be even better. And the other thing is that On wants to become a leader in sustainability. We introduced Cyclone just recently, and it's the first fully circular running shoe which you never own, actually. So it means that it comes together with a subscription model as a package. This makes perfectly sense, because we actually are responsible to take the material back from the consumer and use it again in a new product. So I think that's the first shoe ever, which is made out of plant-based material. It's an amazing story, because it's literally the first circular product out there.
Imran, thanks so much for coming on the Run as Well podcast.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Number 8, which is again very quite off-piste, is running nose. I think there should be an A in there, but who am I to? Is running nose sign of corona?
The times we live in.
I mean, it's a tricky one to answer, because I'm not a doctor, but we've had a look on the internet and the NHS site, and a runny nose doesn't seem to be like one of the top 7. I think there's a few symptoms that they say, oh, go and get a test. And a runny nose isn't one of them. So probably not. You do get my nose. I get a runny nose when I run. I think that's really common, isn't it? Yeah. That's something to do with your sinuses and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So you could be running and get a runny nose, or you could actually not care about running and just be Googling about your runny nose. And now we're talking about it. So I wouldn't worry too much about your runny nose.
Great.
And there's also an article on the website, runnersworld.com/UK, about why your nose runs so much when you run.
It's that kind of added content that I think that sets us apart, I think. That
really is.
I think we should move on. There's not much more to say about the one. Number nine, interesting one again, is running cardio. Running is the godfather of cardio. Nothing is more cardio than running.
I love that.
It's so cardio. It couldn't be more cardio if it tries. The word cardio refers to cardiovascular exercise, of course, which in simple terms is just exercise that works your heart and lungs. And nothing does that well. Very little does that as well as running. So, yeah, one of the greatest cardiovascular exercises on the planet. Next.
They should just delete that one now off of Google and just put your put this podcast there instead. And that is just you saying, get over it.
Get over it.
It's the godfather of cardio.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Crazy people. So, Jane, we're now on number 10. And is running better than walking? So this is, you mentioned that you are now a walker as well as a runner.
I've been
doing a bit of walking. I've had the baby strapped to me and I get out for his little morning nap and go for a walk. It's been great. But is running better than walking is what we need to find out here. And it depends on what you define as better. So that's nice.
Potato, potato.
that's nice and indifferent from us. Various studies have shown that running is better than walking in terms of weight loss. And we talked about that earlier in is running, you know, good for weight loss, the question number one. But regular brisk walking is not to be underestimated, as it proves a host of benefits similar to easy running. Now, I mean, we're talking about LISS here, which is low intensity steady state, which is basically another way of saying moving for a set amount of time in a sort of steady state of work. And that's why walking is so good, because you're just basically, the engine is ticking over. So if you go for like a big old hike somewhere, the engine is just running real, sort of idling along. And that's really good for you, because you're just, you know, everything's working. You're engaging all the muscles as you walk, but you're not putting any real duress on anything. And so, yeah, walking from that point of view is maybe better than running, but running is better because, you know, you go places faster and...
It's probably more exhilarating, isn't it?
It's more exhilarating, and you know, you get to wear short shorts, and it's all these sorts of things that make running. But there are, you know, I think that running and walking, it shouldn't be a one is better than the other. Our advice is to definitely do both.
Yeah, I feel like someone, I think it was Lewis, my coach, said once that your heart and your lungs don't know if you're running or walking or cycling or swimming. So if you can't go for a run and you can go for a walk, go for a walk. If you can't do either, get on a bike. Like, do what you can at that moment in time.
There you go.
Definitely.
Right, we're into the bonus two.
Bonus time. Yeah. Is running bad for your back? ? No, again, no. All of these are no. Exercise and movement is actually good for your back. I think your back is one of those things that you have to keep, unless you've had a serious spinal injury, I think you need to keep it moving, don't you?
Yeah,
As far as I'm aware. But people who know much more than me are some researchers in Australia who looked at a group of 79 male and female adults, two-thirds of whom were runners and had been for at least 5 years. And the rest of the people in the study rarely did any kind of exercise at all. I think they looked at the kind of size and the liquidity, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
liquidity,
yeah,
of each of the person's spinal discs, which just sounds horrifying. Like, how? How did they do that?
Let's have a quick look at your spinal disc. Oh, yeah. Perfect, yeah.
Hold on, mate.
Just looking at my spinal disc. They found that, in general, the discs of the runners were larger and contained more fluid, indicating more flexibility and less back pain than the people who did no exercise. So there you go. There's also a really interesting stat, isn't there, that when you finish a marathon, you're smaller because you lose some of that fluid in your spine, I think.
Yeah,
so you finish the marathon, you do get taller. It does replenish, but yeah, you, but when you finish a marathon, you'll be a little bit shorter, which for someone like me,
don't undo all the good
you've
just done, Jane, by telling everyone that they're going to shrink now.
Will,
if they
running,
start
will running make me smaller? That's actually
will running make me smaller? Yes, it will.
But don't worry, you'll spring back.
But don't worry, it will all go back to normal. And the positive is, it is good for your back.
Well, and I think everyone's slightly taller when they wake up than when they go to sleep as well, for the same reason.
I'm a
little bit of pounding.
I'm actually huge in the morning.
Yeah. I'm 8'2" in the morning, and then it's weird. I'm 5'9" again by 6 p.m. All right. So final one. Again, an interesting one, this. Is running a sport? And I think that is a question that people wonder about, because it's such a sort of natural human activity. Same as walking, really. But running is a sport. Of course it is. There are various different expressions of a sport: sprinting, marathon running, hobbling and crying. I've done them all. But of course, yeah, and you don't have to run competitively to be called a runner. So it's all part of the same...
It's a lifestyle.
It's a weird one, because a lot of people don't think of running. It's that disconnect, isn't it, of like, you know, people look at running around a track and say, well, that's athletics. That's got nothing to do with me doing the park run on Saturday. They're different sports. But actually, yeah, you know, by and large, I think technically running is a sport.
But I think it is interesting, though, because, I mean, people identify as runners. Like, that can be like, if you look at Twitter bios and stuff, you know, that's an identifier, isn't it? People say, I'm a runner. So I guess that, you know, there's this shift between, if it's a sport, do you identify? I don't know. Anyway, it is a sport. It's a lifestyle.
What conclusions do you think we can... I'm just looking at the 12 and I'm thinking, we've already talked about that. So I think there's a suspicion and a kind of myth-busting exercise that needs to go on with running, where probably half these questions are around the perceived negative effects of running, all of which I think we have shown conclusively through science here.
Yes, and if not science, rambling.
Are wrong. Anything else you think that comes out with these questions?
I was just thinking about this, because we've said it's suspicious, but maybe we're being defensive about running.
Yeah.
So,
because we do get injured a lot, yeah, as a runner. You know, I don't know how many times I've spoken to people, I've moaned to other people about my injuries, and if you're not a runner, you're probably like, why do you keep doing it? Do you know what I mean? You can get injured doing it, but you can also get injured, falling over a dog toy.
Yeah. I think it's a sign of the times, perhaps, in the fact that lockdown has changed that, and everyone's sort of seen the real benefit of movement and being outdoors or getting out and having your daily exercise and stuff like that. But I still think that there's a sort of those who do and those who don't divide. And I think that these kind of speak of that a little bit, whereas it's not just that, it's even just the fact that exercise is viewed as something that could be bad for you. If you see what I mean, like that's really telling, isn't it? That the education on, you know, all the way back to when you did PE at school and people being like, oh, I don't want to do PE, PE's rubbish, it's bad, I don't want to go outside, it's cold. And how that sort of builds and builds and builds and becomes this thing of like, oh, everyone, now it's lockdown and everyone's going running. Should I go running? Is it bad for me to go running? It's kind of like, surely the default should be like, movement is good for you. So it's that sort of, I don't know, that's quite telling, that the general state of everything is that there's still a sort of like those who do exercise and those who don't, and not a sort of middle ground of being like, everyone understands that there are huge benefits, but are the benefits of running better for me than cycling? That's the Google search I'd like to do, not is running going to kill me?
You know, the one that I'm surprised we didn't see, and we haven't seen any of this in the top 12, there's nothing really about mental health. There's not the question, is running good for managing depression? Is running good for anxiety? I would actually expect to see those in a top 10. It might be the way that people are wording their Google searches. But I think that's quite surprising, because I think that's an area now that we talk about running probably almost in terms of that first, not kind of running's incredible and let's all go and run a sub-3 marathon. It's like running's great for your head and your general life.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I think we should wrap up, because I think that there's very little else we can say about running. We've sort of solved it, I think, over the previous 45 minutes. So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Thanks very much to our extra special guests, me, Ben and Jane. It was a pleasure being with you and our appearance fee is in the post. Let us know what you think of the episode. Are there any questions that you think you're surprised aren't on there? podcast@runnersworld.co.uk.
The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all of your favourite podcast apps. Please just search Runner's World UK. And once you find us, just subscribe. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.